Broadcasting from the beautiful Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
Well, a very pleasant good morning to you. This is Patrick Timpone. It is Tuesday, the 3rd of August, and it's OneRadioNetwork.com, 10 o'clock Central Time. In a couple of hours, at noon or so, Deborah Taveras. She's a wild one. Her website is called Stop the Crime, and she's in all kinds of stuff, man. And I think we're going to start off with talking about primary water and her research. And she claims that this whole idea that there's a water shortage is a big scam-a-dama-doodle. And we'll talk about that, and goodness knows where else we'll go with Deborah. Tomorrow, Fred Jaszewski and the Real World of Money, and also a little bit later on this week, very interesting gentleman all about common law rather than this thing we call, I don't know what kind of law they're working with now, but as you know, they just make it up as they go along, so who knows. But it'll be fun to talk about common law, and so that's going on this week. And this is OneRadioNetwork.com. This show in particular here with Brandon Smith is pre-recorded because Brandon lives up there where the buffalo are with Montana to kind of coordinate with him. So hold your emails and calls this morning. We are really ramping up on Telegram. It seems like the safest place to be. You'll see the icon right on the front page of One Radio Network. You can click on that little puppy and join our Telegram group. And we're really gaining a lot of people quickly. And this would be a great place to hang out. And, you know, I like the format more than all the other ones, even, you know, all the other ones, because people can communicate easily with each other. You can post things, just be cool and don't post weird things, and just be nice to one another and talk and meet friends. You'll probably meet your significant other and just invite me to the wedding if you do that, and have some fun, and then we're on there with you, and come the revolution, we'll have a group of people to, I don't know, trade fruits and vegetables or something. This is OneRadioNetwork.com. Excited to get on Brandon Smith with us. His website is altmarket.us. Brandon's been on before, and he's quite an interesting fellow. He's a great researcher, a real patriot, a prepper, a fellow that looks into geopolitics. And his real goal, he says on his website, is to encourage people, which is pretty cool here. Let me read if I get the light right. We got these silly lights. And to encourage people and to educate folks, to help them around the world, Americans in particular, to start decoupling from the existing system. He says we must become more independent, self-reliant as individuals, and communities must adopt localized economic networks, including barter markets, in order to insulate themselves from the ongoing decline in the corrupt financial structure. In other words, if centralization is the problem, then decentralization is the answer. He's in the beautiful, great state of Montana, and it's Brandon Smith. Mr. Brandon, good morning. How are you, sir?
Hi, Patrick. Thanks for having me back.
Sure. It's nice to have you. It's been too long. The great state of Montana. How are you guys doing up there? Is it, how's it going with your governor? Do you have a pretty cool gov who is not trying to be too socialist, commie, Marxist? Or?
So far, he's actually been one of the best in the country.
Oh, really?
Gianforte, he's really done a good job, and the legislature, the state legislature, has done a really good job of passing laws that protect everyone from, specifically from forced vaccination and the vaccine passports. So, you know, even to the point where corporations, companies aren't allowed to demand
vaccine passports. Is that right?
Yes.
See, I didn't know they can do that, Brandon. Does he do that with... Does it take the legislature, or does he do it with an executive order?
I think that one was actually passed under the legislature, but I'd have to double-check that.
So he's actually saying that he has the authority in Montana to not allow like a Costco or who knows, Walmart, to have you have to be vaxxed or prove you are to get in there?
Yes, that is the assertion. I'm sure that they will try to challenge that in court when it comes down to it. Especially in this case, when it comes to medical privacy, corporations and private businesses really, they don't have a leg to stand on, legally, at least not in the past. They haven't been able to demand private medical information from employees or from anyone else, really. The other thing is this situation itself is not just a corporate or private business issue. The fact is that most of these companies are working very closely, and they've proven it time and time again. They're working very closely with the White House and with the Biden administration. So
yes, sir.
When you get that situation where there's collusion between government and corporations, then you get the, obviously the classic definition of fascism, Mussolini's definition of fascism.
Right, which is so, what fascism is, right?
We can't allow that.
Yeah, which is what fascism is, which is really, that's the term, isn't it, Brandon Smith, of government and private companies. Right?
Yes, it's a close collusion between government and private business to control, control power, control the population.
Mm-hmm. So the idea of no shoots, no shoes, no service, they get away with because it's a private company, right? We are Starbucks, and you can't, you have to have shoes to get in. They get away with that. But you're saying, with the medical information and these kinds of things, they can't.
Not in Montana, nor should they get away with it anywhere else. It really crosses the line into an area where we're destroying individual liberties and constitutional rights. So that's one area. I am a supporter of private business rights,
but in this
case. What they're trying to do, and they're trying to be very tricky about it, is they're trying to introduce these vaccine passports through private companies first.
Yes.
Because they know that a lot of conservatives and liberty-minded people are very attached to private business rights. And they think that this will create a major conflict, internal conflict for us, if we're faced with the idea of private companies enforcing government mandates. And that's why the federal government under Biden has not, pushed a federal decree or executive decree on the vaccine passports. I think eventually they will, especially if the private company tactic doesn't work.
Yes, sir. We interviewed, you maybe have heard of him, an attorney, Thomas Renz, out of Ohio. Pretty good one. He's suing all kinds of people over this stuff. And he suggested about 2 months ago that was their plan, to not do a federal mandate because they believe that the private companies would do it.
Yes, and it would be, in terms of the Constitution, that would be their more effective route for mm-hmm. private companies and corporations to do it, because under the law, they are protected technically.
Yes, sir.
The issue is when you start dealing with things like monopolies, or when you start dealing with government collusion with corporations, or when governments compel corporations and companies through incentives or threats, then legally the situation, I believe, changes quite a bit. And when you're dealing with monopolies, especially, monopolies are not protected entities under the Constitution, and they're quite dangerous. And in fact, Adam Smith, the sort of founder of free market ideals, described corporations what he called joint stock companies, he described them as a dangerous threat to true free markets.
And what would be an example of a monopoly that we could put our arms around so we can understand what you're saying?
Well, I would say a good example would be something like Google, which right now is censoring through, you know, YouTube and all the other various sort of, you know, entities that they own. They're censoring pretty much anything in social media and on YouTube having to do with
injections,
you know, counter vaccine information or counter propaganda.
Anything that is
contrary to the mainstream or government narrative on COVID and the vaccines, that's all being censored. And you have, you know, maybe a small handful, three or four major companies that really control a huge amount of the social media on the internet, and they're all in collusion on this, and they're all working directly with the White House. We've seen specifically the White House admit that they are working directly with Facebook. They even have teams of people at the White House that search out information that they don't like on COVID and the vaccines, and then they flag it, and they go and they tell Facebook, you know, shut this down, and then Facebook shuts it down. So this is a direct collusion between government and corporations. It's illegal in a lot of ways, and it represents fascism.
Brandon Smith is with us. You wrote a great article called "Why Are Globalists and Governments So Desperate for 100% Vaccination Rates?" And we put it on our front page, got a lot of clicks on it, and I know that it's kind of gone viral. It's been a very hot article for you. So tell us why. I mean, do they is it more than they just want us dead? They just want to make us dead?
Well, I think that, you know, when it comes down to it, I mean, my theory is just based on, number one, what a number of viral experts and vaccine experts have said over the past several months in terms of the experimental mRNA vaccines. Most of them have come out and said that the primary threat from these vaccines, because they have no long-term testing behind them to prove their safety, the biggest danger is autoimmune disorders and specifically infertility caused by autoimmune disorders. So that's one factor that I've been taking into account. The other factor that I've been watching is the mainstream media and the government in general. The fact that they, every time they bring up, for one, they're extremely aggressive whenever it comes to the subject of infertility and the vaccines. They harp on about it. I don't think I've had a day where I haven't seen several reports from the media on how this is misinformation. It's so dangerous that people are talking about infertility and the vaccines. There's no proof that the vaccines cause infertility. And then at the same time, they're out there every day saying that COVID-19 could cause infertility. So I think you see where this narrative is going. At least to me, it seems like what they're doing is preemptively inserting this narrative that COVID-19 is going to cause mass infertility or will cause large-scale infertility problems. In the meantime, all of these virology experts are coming out saying, including one of the creators of mRNA technology, coming out and saying that the vaccines might cause infertility. My suspicion is that the vaccines are designed to cause autoimmune response and infertility, that these governments know that this is the case, that the pharmaceutical companies know that this is the case, and that a year or two from now, when this suddenly is diagnosed on a mass scale, and that's usually about how long it takes to diagnose infertility anyways, about a year to 2 years, for autoimmune disorders and infertility. In a couple of years, we're going to have, I believe, a mass cases of autoimmune disorders and infertility, and then they will blame COVID-19 for that when, in fact, it was the vaccine.
The vaccine.
All along.
And then maybe blame the unvaxxed and the Delta variant as well along the way, right?
Yes, exactly. Although I think what their plan seems to be is to get 100% vaccination well before the autoimmune disorders are discovered. And the reason why, you know, as the title in my article suggested, the reason why they're desperate for 100% vaccination, I believe, is because they need to get almost everyone or everyone vaccinated as quickly as possible in the next year or two before these disorders start to be discovered. Because if you have a huge portion of the population, say, you know, 50%, 40 to 50% of the U.S. Unvaccinated,
mm-hmm.
By the time these disorders are discovered, all of those millions of unvaccinated people will act as something called a control group. And that's sort of in an experiment, that's a pure sample of people who have not been touched by the specific drug or the specific experimental vaccine,
mm-hmm.
or whatever. And the control group is what you use to see if the drug you're using or the vaccines you're using are basically poison.
Oh, that's an interesting take. Yeah, that really is the way you should do it if you're going to do a test, right? Have a control group.
Right. So you have to remember that, I mean, at least in terms of public knowledge, there has been no long-term testing data released to the public. They have represented the mRNA vaccines as if these were produced within months. I mean, the rollout was within months of the pandemic, or at least the creation of them was within months, you know, according to the establishment.
Yeah.
So, you know, the average vaccine is tested for at least 2 to 4 years and then moves on to secondary trials, possibly human trials, and then that's another several years. On average, a vaccine takes 10 to 15 years to be tested and then approved for human use, then approved by the FDA and then released to the public. 15 years.
Wow.
So the mRNA vaccines were released within months, and there's no long-term data to
nothing.
Back these things up to the public. Now, what's probably the case, what I suspect is the case, is that these vaccines were created possibly years ago, and that they know exactly
what they're doing,
what is in them, what they do. So, again, you know, that's where you start getting to, you know, they would say that's conspiracy theory. But I'm, you know, it's kind of like a murder scene. You have sometimes you don't catch the murderer with the gun smoking right there over the body. Sometimes you just have to look at the evidence that's in front of you and around the scene, you know, and now there's fingerprints here, there's DNA there. You know, it looks like it's the globalists. You know, the globalists did this. That's what it looks like to me. Yeah. That this was all planned.
So your research, and you dig into this stuff with on altmarket. It's US now. You changed it over, right? Altmarket.us.
Yes.
Okay. Is that these people, globalists, we call globalists, that they are just eugenicists? They just want to lower the population? That's their main thing in life? One of their main things?
Well, they talk about it often. They will often also sort of wrap it in humanitarian-sounding causes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, save the world, stop global warming, climate change, blah, blah, blah. You know, just whatever nonsense they can wrap it in. But They have a long and sordid history of eugenics and discussing population control, mm-hmm. specifically. So when some people might, they come across this article that I wrote or this idea, and they immediately think that what I'm talking about is that the elites are going to kill off everybody, and that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is population control over a period of time, and population reduction over a period of time, not necessarily immediately.
Mm-hmm. So. It's a slow decrease in the amount of humans.
Well, yeah, you got to figure, especially if it's if you're dealing with mass infertility, then. It's not. You're never going to have 100% infertility. There's going to be too many anomalies. That's just not how nature works. So there will still be people out there that can have kids. It'll just be way less. And you got to figure also it would take about a generation to two generations to really reduce population over that time.
More of a long-term plan. Yeah. Well,
yes.
Brendan, I saw an article yesterday that. The FDA is considering approving the Pfizer thing in September. Now, I don't know how they can do that. There's been no long-term study. I mean, they're just going to do it, right? I mean, isn't this...
Well, that was always the plan. They have to do that. They have to get FDA approval, and I'll tell you why. They need FDA approval in order to claim legitimacy for mandating the vaccine,
yes.
specifically in schools.
Yes.
And that is the big one. What they really want is to be able to inject all these kids with
wow.
this vaccine.
Man.
And they can't do that until the vaccine is approved officially by the FDA, which a lot of people may not know. It was never approved.
Never approved. No.
By the FDA.
Yeah.
It only got emergency release approval, but it was never confirmed by the FDA as safe for the public.
No, sir.
Not officially. So, but that was always the plan. This is what they call the totalitarian tiptoe. they
yeah.
tell you, two months to flatten the curve or whatever.
Yeah.
6 weeks to flatten the curve. Then of course, a year and a half later, we still got multiple states that are still have mandates and some lockdowns. So
yes, sir.
That's how they do it. They incrementally bring in and normalize these sort of policies. And the next step is, number one, they need to get the vaccine passports in place in as many places as they can. Number two, they need to start mandating the vaccines for school children in public schools.
Wow.
And that will be the big one.
Yeah.
If they can get that, then they kind of, I don't want to say they win, but it would be a real detriment to the liberty movement in the U.S. if they can convince enough people to go along with that.
Brandon Smith,
I don't think it will work.
I don't think it will. Brandon, I saw an article, DeWine out of Ohio, he's a rhino, and he said, well, we're not going to do any mandates or vaccine passports or masking until, and here's what he said, we're not going to do it now, but until they get it approved by the FDA. Right?
Right, exactly.
Exactly. So, but now in Texas, where I am, God bless me, and Florida, DeSantis and both Abbott, they've already done some executive orders saying we're not doing any masking, no passports. So these guys are putting, they're drawing a line in the sand, some states.
Right, right. And I think, it's really, here's the thing. Even in Montana,
yes,
which
sir.
Has some of the best legal protections in the country in terms of the vaccine passports and the mandates, even in Montana, I tell people all the time, do not put full faith in the state government to protect you.
Hmm.
All right.
Not
going to
happen.
If they are sticking by their word, that's great. But assume at some point they might try to flip-flop on you or betray you.
Yes.
Right. So assume that, and then organize your communities, even if you can, organize your state to push back against that and make them not want to stab you in the back. You know, because you got to remember, these politicians, they live next door to you. So they don't want to live next door to millions and millions of very, very angry constituents. So you need to let them know constantly, like, hey, don't back off on this. You know, your stand against the vaccine passports. Don't back off. You know, because you don't want a bunch of angry residents of this state. We're not going to follow the mandates, regardless of what the state government does. That needs to be the message.
Mm-hmm. Brandon Smith is with us. Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. Brandon, stay right there. We're going to take a quick little break, okay? Hope you're enjoying the show. We will be here in a couple of more hours from now. Talk to Deborah Tavares about there's a lot of water and then there are hills, and this whole water shortage thing is just kind of made up. You've heard me talk about pine pollen for over 10 years. It's something that I do every day. I got mine a little here. It's just a great product. I do the pure potency, but they also have the pine pollen gold that you can do. And if you'd like to get some, now would be a great time because there's a sale, 20% off. It's the biggest sale of the year for pine pollen, the biggest sale of the year. And with promo code RESTORE20, you get 20% off. So get a couple bottles at least, right? Or you can sign up for the deal where you every month you get it, the auto ship, and you get a better deal on it. Pure Potency is the best one, I think. They got a lot of little goodies in there. And here's Daniel Vitalis telling you more about pine pollen and why you might want to get some.
The first supplement I like to take in the morning, right after I wake up, is Pine Pollen Pure Potency, or P4. This is Cirque Rival's flagship testosterone and androgen support formula. It's made with the pollen of pine trees, which is rich in testosterone, androstenedione, DHEA, and a bunch of plant sterols. These are all substances, phytochemicals, that support the body's natural androgens, or male hormones. Of course, men and women are using this product, but usually it's men in andropause, men after age 40 whose testosterone production has started to decline. Many of Cirque Rival's supplements can be taken any time of day, but Pine Pollen Pure Potency, it's important that you take at very specific times of the day. Now, it can be taken once, twice, or three times, depending on how much you want to supplement yourself with the phytoandrogens found in it. But the key is taking it at morning, right upon waking, midday or noon, and then again right before bed. So once, twice, or three times a day, but always at those times. And that's because that's when your body's naturally producing its own testosterone. And all we want to do is amplify that sine wave. We don't want to start to take testosterone at a time where our body's purged it from the bloodstream. Instead, we want to take it at a time where those levels are already spiking and we're just subtly helping to increase them. This product tastes fantastic. I think of it like an orange creamsicle, and that's because in addition to that subtle pine flavor, there's a little bit of orange peel, Tahitian vanilla bean, cloves, and then a little bit of maple syrup just to give it this nice kind of sweet orange flavor. So it's really delicious and easy to take. So if you're looking to increase your testosterone or androgen levels and you want an alternative to pharmaceutical testosterone replacement therapies, there's nothing that does it better than Pine Pollen Pure Potency.
You betcha, baby. It's a great product. And I've actually turned ladies on to it. They were going through the whole, you know, perimenopause and menopause thing, you know, in the 40, 45, 50 year range, and they feel better. One lady that I know, she was doing the BBs in her butt, you know, the testosterone, and she kind of felt better going through menopause, but then she just got a little weird, and I kind of turned her on to the pine pollen. She got off of the BBs and on the pine pollen and had a good experience. It's a wonderful product. Use promo code RESTORE20 and get yourself 20% off for the next few weeks on One Radio Network. Just click on One Radio Network and check it out, and you'll you'll be a happy camper and have some fun. This is Patrick Flanagan, probably years before we even came into contact with George and the hydrogen. Check this out. This conversation goes back 7 years with Dr. Patrick Flanagan. Listen.
And then I discovered that Hunza water also contained negative ionized hydrogen, which is a source of biological electrons. When we're young, we have enzymes in our body called dehydrogenase, and the purpose of dehydrogenase is to lift off hydrogen ions from foods we eat, and their purpose is to create NADH, which is a chemical that acts as a shuttle in the mitochondria for producing all the energy in our body, adenosine triphosphate. And when people take this, it causes DNA repair. It heals the body from all kinds of oxygen-free radicals. It also helps the body recover from damage from radiation.
Well, we certainly want some of this stuff, right? Check out our AquaCure machine. AquaCure machine on OneRadioNetwork.com. Lifetime warranty. And along with a lifetime warranty, a 1-year, no questions asked, money-back guarantee. If you don't like your results, breathe the gas, bubble the water, listen to what Dr. Flanagan has to say about this and others. The AquaCure machine on OneRadioNetwork.com. Use promo code OneRadio, 10% discount.
From the Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
And to the beautiful, great state of Montana with Brandon Smith, altmarket.us. Brandon, before we get out of here, I want to talk to you about a little bit of, get some of your ideas, which I know you work on a lot, this whole decoupling and becoming more interdependent physically and stuff like that. But I'm wondering what you do there, and do you have people that you have gotten together with? And or is there awareness of the power of the county sheriffs in your area to protect you as well?
Yeah, that seems to be a pretty common thing, especially in Montana, as constitutional sheriffs, that sort of thing. I try to tell people, it all starts local. And I do run local meetings once every couple of weeks or so.
Do you?
I do. And I'll put up notices wherever I can. Facebook boots off any mention of any kind of community meetings having to do with freedom-related stuff. So that's not working anymore. But I do put up, I make flyers. I put up little posters and things all around town. And, sometimes the meetings are small, sometimes they're big. It just depends on what's going on in the community at the time. But, it's been pretty successful, and I think that you can kind of gauge where you're at in your area as far as, or where the community is at in your area, what their mindset is. Mm-hmm. And, so you start there, and it seems that, our local sheriff is
pretty cool.
On the right page.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the county officials are on the right page. We do have, unfortunately, some who are not, and that seems to be par for the course as far as most, even in conservative counties. It's weird. You'll find kind of hard left people in positions of power in in conservative counties all over the country. Yeah. Especially in the newspapers and in city councils, so they seem to gravitate towards power and even in conservative places.
I live in a neighborhood where we're way in the back, and it's a dead end thing where we have maybe 100 homes in the hills back here. And I was thinking about organizing with them. So if I do that, what would be the purpose? What would be some of the things that would be important to talk about if you're going to get some folks together around you? What do you talk about?
Well, I think, to start with, it's important to, focus on your neighborhood, your general area, your borough, or your county if it's pretty spread out. But you want to make sure that, there are people that are kind of on the same page as you in terms of this information. You don't want to get too into browbeating people or preaching to the choir
right.
with information that they are already familiar with. What your main goal should be is to focus on community building and networking and get people, working together. And that's really kind of the main reason that I do these meetings at all, is because a lot of Liberty Movement people, they're pretty well educated on this information. The problem, or where their biggest weakness is in organization, our biggest weakness is organization. A lot of people in this movement are tend to isolate, and they'll only interact with a small handful of people or their own families, friends. They don't really interact with the wider community, and that's kind of a problem. And it's this sort of secret squirrel mentality that a lot of Liberty Movement people have,
mm-hmm.
and it's really it's a detriment to the movement overall, because the more isolated we are from each other, the less power we have to affect any kind of defense against this kind of tyranny that's rising right now. You really have to have, at least at the local level, you have to have large groups of people well organized to defend against this. And that's not just in terms of physically defending, it's also in terms of the local economy. So if you have a situation, for example, where your state tries to bring in and enforce vaccine passports, and you have a large contingent of people in your county that are unvaccinated, well, you need to organize those people to, and the business owners that are on board to defy those vaccine mandates.
Just say we're not going to do that. We're just not going to do that.
Well, yeah, it depends on the community, and it depends on who organizes right now.
Mm-hmm.
If you organize now, right, you can at least establish some kind of a barter network, to have some kind of economy going. But if they get this through, if they get these vaccine passports through, and you're unvaccinated, they're going to cut you completely out of the economy. That's the plan.
Is it?
They're going to remove you from your ability to participate, and they're going to drive you into poverty and starvation, you and your family. That is the goal. The goal is to wear you down until you just accept the jab. So you have to have an alternative economy to tap into. And so unvaccinated people, Liberty people, need to organize now for that eventual strategy that they're going to use against us.
So what do you mean, wear you down? Talk a bit about that. What does that look like?
Well, for instance, in places like China, where this is already well established, this sort of the vaccine passports and what they call the social credit system. Basically, they have it now to the point where if you even speak ill of the government or ill of certain policies, they can give you negative points on your social credit score. They can revoke your vaccine passport. They can make it so you can't travel anywhere on trains or buses. They can make it so you can't shop in certain places or anywhere at all. Basically, they make life so difficult for mm-hmm. you that you keep your mouth shut. And the people that do speak up, they make an example out of them so that everyone else sees it, and then they're afraid to speak up. So they just self-censor. And that's really that's how tyrannies are established, especially long-term tyrannies, is through the power of self-censorship. It's not that the government needs to punish every single person that says or does anything. What they do is they just make an example out of a handful of people, and then they scare the crap out of everybody else so that they keep their mouths shut. And that's how tyranny lasts, for decades.
How they can really... So I guess it's... and I know you look at this, and we kind of do too, Brandon. It looks like this idea of a Federal Reserve Fed coin thing is going to roll out someday, maybe in the next 6 months or a year, where they would then deposit digits into your phone and control the money like that, right? That would be a way where they could, if you didn't get vaxxed, well, then you don't get any digits.
Right. Yeah, they have to digitize currency, mm-hmm. and that's why I've always said, you know, I've been telling people in the Liberty Movement for years that cryptocurrency is not a long-term solution to the problem of central banks and monetary
power. Oh, you mean Bitcoin
or the
other ones, right?
Right, because really what it does is it kind of actually acclimates people to the idea of
digital
everything, right. Digital currency, right. Digital trade, everything's digital, and anything digital can be easily shut down.
Sure.
Especially anything digital that's reliant on the Internet itself, because the Internet is not a free market system. It's a very highly centralized and controlled system. So, you know, the issue with digital currency is that at that point, if you don't hold it in your hand, then the government does control it, and they will be able to shut it off anytime they want, shut off your ability to trade altogether just by removing your digital currency, what you own. And that on top of the vaccine passports, I think it would really lead to an extremely long-term tyranny, something that would be almost impossible to remove once it gets established and rooted. So we can't allow that to happen. We can't allow vaccine passports, and we cannot allow digital currencies. Mm-hmm. We have to build alternatives, and you know. If they try to stop us, then you get into a whole other situation where you have rebellion.
So I hear you saying, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but there's a potential that these globalists could really, I don't know how to say it, could take this entire country over into a Marxist, crazy, fascist thing if enough people don't say no.
Yes.
Is that your theory?
You know, I would say that it's, if, you know, there's been a lot of, you know, rebellions or revolutions for freedom in the past that were not the majority of the population. You know, for example, the Founding Fathers, they were definitely not
the majority.
Yeah. There was a large number of people in the colonies that still supported the British and the King at the time of their revolution. So they weren't just fighting the British, they were fighting all the people who were, you know, living in the colonies and on the side of the British. And they still won. But, you know, in our particular situation, I think that it's definitely preferable if we can get, you know, I would say 30, 40, 50% of the country completely on board with the anti-vaccine movement and the anti-passport movement. It's pretty important, and luckily it seems to be, you know, just looking at the stats, not the inflated CDC stats, but other stats from Mayo Clinic and others that suggest that about 50% of the country remains unvaccinated and doesn't plan to get vaccinated.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that their numbers of the vaxxed are inflated as they inflate everything. And there's quite a bit of action, as you know, around the world. I mean, there's been pretty massive demonstrations in France and all over. I mean, so there's a lot of people waking up to this thing.
Yes, and you know, that's a good sign. My only concern for people in those countries is that they're mostly disarmed. So when it really comes down to it, if the government wants to enforce this and go hardcore, then I don't know what those people will be able to do. I suppose. You know, you could bring out the torches and the pitchforks or whatever.
Sure.
But you know, that would be preferable to just submitting, in my opinion. But there's not a lot of countries like the United States where the population, majority of the population is armed.
Is armed. But Brandon Smith, you know, it's difficult for me to imagine, maybe I'm just being naive, that it would ever come to a point where some forces, the government or whoever, would literally, try to knock on your door and literally hold you down and evacuate. I just don't see that happening. Am I being naive?
Well, all I can say is that they're already sort of talking about that or hinting at that. If you recall, Biden recently commissioned the creation of a vaccine, what they're calling vaccine survey teams, that go door to door and basically try to convince you to
right.
take the vaccine. Not necessarily force you, but they're there to try to convince you. And in a lot of cases, they already have the vaccines right there. You can, they show up at your door, they talk you into it, and they give you the jab. Now, Biden's press secretary referred to these teams as vaccine strike teams or strike forces, which I think was maybe a slip up. I don't think that was a deliberate, I don't think she meant to call them that. I think that's what they're calling that behind closed doors. That's what they're calling them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this may be a beta test to see
what,
how it might go in the near future if they want to send teams door to door to force you to take the vaccine.
I haven't heard much about these people going door to door. A few videos I've seen has been pretty messy for those. They're sending out folks, with no, whatever you call it, no experience, no training, just with a clipboard. And the few videos I've seen, it didn't go very well for people knocking on people's doors, but I don't know,
Right. And that's,
that's
at least initially, I don't think that their intent is to, I don't think they're going out there thinking, oh, we're going to get all these people
right.
vaccinated. I think their intent is to go door to door and see who gives resistance. And then people who give resistance and get angry, they mark them on a list for later.
Right. So. I think the big challenge I think we have is the Supreme Court, which has proved themselves so far to be a little swampy. You know what I mean? So I don't know if some of this stuff would ever get to the high court if we'd have a lot of juice there to protect our God-given rights.
Right. The Supreme Court will do whatever Biden wants, I think, in terms of this situation. The thing about it is, in terms of legality, right now, it would be very difficult for them to push forward with this in the U.S. Thankfully, there's a very large resistance in the U.S.
Yes.
To these policies, so that really helps a lot. But when it comes to legality, I always tell people, well, don't think of it in terms of how or what our situation is now. Think of it in terms of what our situation might be in the near future, and at least in terms of crisis in the U.S. Further crisis events might frighten people into more acclimation and subservience to this. So we have to always be on guard for it, even if it seems like the states or whatever will protect us from it now. What if, say, in the near future, there's a massive cyber attack that brings down the supply chain? Then you have mass panic on not just the level of the vaccine passports and the pandemic, but you have a crisis and panic in terms of supply chains being strangled or broken down, people not knowing if they're going to be able to feed their families in a week or two. That kind of thing changes people's mindsets real quickly.
Well, as you know, the whole food thing is very on thin ice because of the weather in California, which many believe is controlled, and this whole supply chain, there's a billion containers still in the Pacific Ocean that can't get here. I know people can't even get parts for their car because it's still out, you know, for the last 6 months. So, I mean, we could have a real food issue in the next 2-3 months, couldn't we?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Food, the issue with food is not so much because we grow a lot of food in the United States. The issue is in the manufacturers that, you know, package food, that process it.
Yes, sir.
And in that situation, you have all these machines. They have all these different parts. They have all these different electronics. A lot of them are, you know, set up to be dependent on internet, you know, web networks, which can go down. We recently saw that with, I believe there's a meat packing.
Yeah,
up major there meat packing
near you, right? Yeah, up there near you.
Yeah, I had a major cyber attack that shut down their manufacturing. So, you know, you have that situation where, you know, either their internet networks go down, or they just run out of parts to replace for a lot of their machines, and then all of that food production goes down. So the farmers will be making the food, but then the companies that package and process it, they're not working. So none of that food gets to the grocery stores, and none of it gets to customers. That's the real danger of the supply chain. So you kind of have to develop local sources for food. You need to find local farms that will sell to you direct, and you need to start growing your own food if you have the ability.
Yes, sir. Okay, before we go, since you're on the local idea, what is your idea, your thoughts and your research show the best way to deal with the currency? Do you look at the pre-90s, 1964 quarters, halves, dimes, and maybe silver dollars to trade?
I actually look more at 1 ounce silver coins.
1 ounce? Just a pre ounce?
Yeah. I think because a lot of people, unless they're in the silver's market and they understand, you know, the silver content of those old
junk
coins.
Yeah.
They just see it as a quarter or a dime or a half dollar. You know, they don't really see it.
You tell them it's got so much silver, they'll say, "Well, it's still a quarter, dude. Just give me some money."
Right. Yeah. You could take a, you know, I'm sure you could take a silver dollar on the street. You know, an old silver dollar, which is a lot of them are, I believe, more than an ounce.
Sure.
So you could take that out on the street and say, "Hey, I'll sell this to you for $5," and probably hardly anybody would give you that, because they just don't know what it's worth. They don't understand that. You know. So the issue is, what will people recognize as valuable in that kind of crisis situation? And I think 1 ounce coins, you know, they're stamped with the silver content right on the coin. So that makes it a little bit easier for people to wrap their heads around what its value is. You know, definitely storable foods would be huge barter items. And ammo in particular.
Ammo.
I think, you know, we've been saying it for a long time. I've been saying it for 15 years or so. The ammo would become the new currency for a lot of people. And just recently, we've kind of seen it happen. I mean, a lot of ammo is really hard to get your hands on now.
Really?
And I think we saw, maybe not right now, but maybe a few months ago, we saw ammo triple in price.
Is that right? Really?
Yeah, yes, especially certain types of ammo. I think, you know, 30-30 was going for $4 to $5 a round.
Wow.
Not long ago. It's crazy. So, I mean, imagine a much worse supply chain problem in the near future in what ammo will be worth because it's not being manufactured anymore.
How do you keep yourself warm up there, Brandon, in Montana? It certainly gets cold up there. How do you do it?
Almost everybody's on wood heat out here. And
wow.
I really do recommend, especially if you have, you know, forests and trees near where you live, I would definitely recommend having a wood stove. If you don't have forests and trees, if you're in the plains states or something like that, then you might want to look into pellet stoves and just stocking a lot of pellets.
Mm-hmm.
Or propane, if you want to get a big propane tank behind your house or something. That would last you quite a while if you're thrifty with it and you only use it for heat during the winter. Then that could last you quite a long time. I know in Texas, you're in Texas, correct?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Yeah, down there you guys had that big
It was a weird
freeze. And if you have electricity go out during that, then you're going to be pretty miserable unless you have some kind of alternative.
We did, too. I had about 10 days where I had, Brandon, I had, I ran out of propane the day after the freeze, and the streets were too icy for propane delivery. So I had no propane, no water, because I didn't have any electricity for, it was like Jed Clampett here, baby, for about 10 days. But you know what? We had neighbors. When you ran out of wood, I have a wood-burning stove, and we made it through. But I was trudging through, a couple hundred yards to my neighbors in ice and snow just to get water. It was interesting. It was good experience for me. I really learned a lot.
Yeah, those situations, I think, really kind of, wake people up
you
to
grow up real quick.
how thin that line is between comfort and complete misery.
Yeah, boy.
I think it doesn't matter where you live, there's a chance of real cold weather, so definitely have alternative heat sources and have some kind of alternative water source. That's kind of your main things, especially water. Have an alternative water source.
And our power was off for about 3 or 4 hours this morning from, I guess, it's very hot, so too many air conditioning is going. The grid here in Texas, we're having a bad hair day with our grid, and that's all over. Well, we've got our challenges, Mr. Brandon Smith, in this culture, don't we?
Yeah, I think we're really living it. I would call it, a nexus point.
Mm-hmm.
The Chinese would call it living in interesting times. it's a point in our history where everything could change from now on. Everything could change to be very much worse than it is, or things could change to be
better.
Very much better than they have been for a long time.
Yeah.
Depending on our actions and our ability to stand firm in what we believe.
Good for you. Well, it's a great article, and we have it on our front page of One Radio Network and on your website, altmarket.us. And thanks for coming on the show. We appreciate it. It's always fun talking to you. So you stay out of trouble here, okay? And, stay under the radar.
I'll try. I think it's too late for that.
It's too late.
But I'll do my best. And thanks for having me on the show. I'm happy to come back anytime.
Been a pleasure, sir. Thank you. Take care. Brandon Smith, altmarket.us. Patrick Timpone, oneradionetwork.com. He's a good one. And, he's doing some stuff right there in his neighborhood and some local things. And I'm thinking about, playing around with some of those ideas as well. Here, because might as well we do what we can, right?
Oh, wow.
A couple of things I want to mention before we go, and we'll talk about it more on Friday. By the way, in a couple of hours, we'll be visited by Deborah Tavares, and her website is Stop the Crime, and you can imagine by that website name that she's into a lot of fun stuff, and so we'll be joined by her. Fred Jaszewski is going to be here tomorrow. And I think it's going to happen on Thursday. We'll see a common law fellow. And this is real important stuff. And this is just alluding to a bit what I'm talking about. I'll just kind of tease you on this one. I won't go into it a lot right here on this Tuesday morning. But remember, when anybody from the government or any government organization, I don't care who they are, wants you to do something, right? Says you got to do this. I don't care who they are. According to common law, according to the way commerce works, if you're dealing in commerce, and this is all commerce, is everything is an offer, right? It's all on offer. So rather than just say no, you can say, let's just take, if somebody said, well, you got to get this fax from your workplace. You could say, okay, well, I'll conditionally, this is the word, I'll conditionally accept your offer. I'll accept it, and here's my conditions. So it's better than saying no, because when you just say no, you get into a tug of war. But you can say, well, here, I'll conditionally accept your offer. And you can have all kinds of conditions. Yeah, I'll get the vax if I get sick, this has to happen. If I get sick and die, well, then you got to give me $1 million. If I get sick and just get sick, you have to give me, I don't know, make up a number. If I get sick and give it to somebody else, my sickness, then you got to give me this. Or, you know, you can do it. So you give them back an offer. Let them sit with it and see what they do with it. Oftentimes when you do that, they just go away because they know you understand commerce. This is all commerce. These are all offers. You know, they want you to believe that things like this are mandates. They just make that word up, mandate. They don't have no authority to mandate anything. We have God-given rights to our body, to our freedom, to our home, everything. God-given rights to protect ourselves. They can't mandate that you can't have a weapon or mandate that you have to do this or wear the only reason these mask mandates worked is because people were stupid enough to do it. That's the only reason people were wearing masks and are wearing masks today, because people are so frightened, uninformed, scared, confused, that they do it. Mostly it's just scared. Somebody tells you to wear a mask, it's just an offer. Yeah, I'll wear a mask, but here, I'll wear, if you can assure me that me wearing this mask will not affect my breathing. And if it does, you owe me so much money. Make it whatever you want. You can make up an offer. That's all they're doing. They make it believe like they're telling you, you got to do something. Remember, it's just an offer. It's just an offer. Everything. From a government. We are the government. They work for us. They can't mandate for us to do anything. It's all based on fear. So don't buy into it. So we'll talk more about it. We'll get some people on to help you to explain this whole conditional acceptance. And that's all it's called, it's conditional acceptance. You can do that with anything. You can do it with a traffic ticket if you want to I just stop at stop signs and don't get tickets, but you can do it with anything. It's all an offer. They've got everybody believing that they have power over you to tell you what you can do. It's just all a big scam. It's just a big fairy tale. Trust me when I tell you, it's all based on a lie. That we have power over you because we're from the CDC or the WHO or from the IRS or from the... They don't have any authority over you. The IRS is just a collection agency. Now, you want to pay your taxes because somehow they convinced the courts and the banks that they can just come in and take your money if you don't pay your taxes. So don't do that. Yeah, don't do that. Pay your taxes. They got us kind of bamboozled on the tax thing. So I'm going on record right now, Patrick Timpone in Texas, telling people to pay your taxes. Because they got us bamboozled, and they've got us all, you know, they've got the banks all in on the game. And if you don't pay your taxes and get to a tussle with them, they can go in and just clean out your bank account. So don't play with that one. I've been through that one, and trust me when I tell you. Until we figure that one out legally, lawfully, you just pay them. So just paying to Caesar what is Caesar. But other than that, you don't have to do anything. Nothing. Certainly you don't have to wear a mask. Certainly you don't have to get some injection. They don't have any authority to tell you to do that. They just don't. They just don't. So don't let them scare you to anything. And if your employer wants you to get an injection so you can keep your job, do it, you know. Say, yeah, I'll do it if, whatever. I'll conditionally accept your offer. If I get sick, then you're going to pay me. If I get sick, you're going to pay me and then pay me to take care of my family when I'm sick. If you injure me, then you're going to pay me so much. If this happens 10 years from now, you're going to pay me. You can do whatever you want. Just make it up. That's all they're doing. Make it up. Remember, the people doing all this stuff are lunatics. They're psychopaths. And they're just getting away with everything they're getting away with because they can. All right. I love you all. We'll see you in a couple of hours, about noon or so, Central. Deborah Tavares. And we're going to talk about a lot of fun stuff. Thanks for your support. Really, it's just amazing the support that we get from you supporting our sponsors and buying these great products that we promote. It's really a... I love you all. Thank you. Take care. We'll see you in a couple of hours. May the blessings be.
Broadcasting from the beautiful Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.